Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Sometimes in a fan community, a rumor, a trend, whatever you want to call it, really gets started. It doesn't have much basis. On today's episode, I'm going to talk about all the recent Giannis and Chicago rumors trying to link Giannis to Chicago. We're going to do some debunking today and also talk about why the Chicago Bulls just don't have the assets right now, despite having $81 million in expiring contracts, to really make a trade for a player the caliber of Giannis Antetokounmpo. We're also going to talk about the Zion Williamson rumors. We're going to get to all that, plus four Bulls who have earned themselves more minutes heading into next season and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host there, Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go ahead and get into this content for today, y'all. And I want to start off talking about this. Like, I know that it's something that, you know, some of my contemporaries, right, in the Bulls podcasting community like to push. And, you know, it's one thing that I've always said to you guys, one thing I don't like to do is clickbait content. Like, I like to have realistic conversations about the team and things that can happen, right? And not to say that that's the end all be all, but I really like to, I like to live in the world of reality, right? Some content creators like to push narratives and other things because it does make for easier click content. And especially today, I know this may be a part that many people don't care about. YouTube's recently changed the algorithm. So like a lot of channels aren't being pushed out to non-subscribers anymore, right? So like that leads to some of the content that you're seeing. I think that may explain some of the content that you're seeing from some content creators, of not just Bulls content creators, but maybe some of your favorite teams. But the Giannis rumors, right? These are something that persists. And I had a great conversation with my boy Vaughn in the Discord, right? Who is one of the best minds when it comes to like figuring out trades and things like that. And we were having a conversation back and forth over where would the Bulls really rank on their best package that they can put forward for Giannis Antetokounmpo, right? And he came up with the best trade that he could. And I think here's the thing, right? And let's talk about some things, right? If Giannis does request a trade from the Milwaukee Bucks, it's because of what? Because that team isn't good enough to compete for a title, right? What's the one thing that we've heard from Giannis in regards to leaving Milwaukee is that as long as he's there and he feels like it's the best chance that he has to compete for a title, he will continue to be a Milwaukee Buck. The loyalty that he has had with the Milwaukee Bucks has been something that has been evident, right? So if he does leave and request a trade, it is going to have to come because he thinks another team can offer him a better opportunity. And I don't see the Bucks just trading Giannis because without his permission or approval, right? Because we live in a post-Luka Doncic trade world, right? I also think that plays a little bit into this as well, whereas teams love to, because of Nico Harrison being an idiot, and now it's added kind of validity for people to come up with their crazy trade ideas and like, well, did we think Luka would get traded? And it's like, that doesn't add validity to everything. But let's just go forward, right? The best possible offer that the Chicago Bulls could offer, right? Keep in mind, Josh Giddey is a restricted free agent. so he can't be traded, right? Not before the draft, right? Now, even if you do trade him as a sign and trade, keep in mind, only half of his base level salary goes towards matching the deal. So that's another thing that you have, another wrinkle in all of this that you have to think about. But the idea that the Bulls' best package would be built around, and no, you're not getting Giannis Antetokounmpo for a package of Nikola Vucevic, Patrick Williams, and Kobe White, right? You're not getting Giannis Antetokounmpo for that. Like, even if the Bucks do move on, they're going to want young talent, right? Which Kobe would fit that. Patrick Williams, come on now. As Bulls fans, we have to stop thinking we can trade our trash and get a gem. Like, stop thinking that, right? We're not the Lakers. We don't get lucky like that. But then on top of that, like, if they do pivot from Giannis, not only are you going to want young talent back, they're going to want picks back. And while the Chicago Bulls do own all their first-round picks now, keep in mind, there's a thing called the Stephian rule in which you cannot trade your own pick in back-to-back years, right? So meaning, even if the Bulls want it, they can trade out to 2032, I believe. So that would mean that they could trade 2026, 2028, 2030, 2032. That's four first-round picks that the Bulls could theoretically put together, right? Okay, cool. Let's say that they do that. That's four first. Okay? Then they can offer pick swaps, right? But at that point in time, if the Bucks are going rebuild, would the pick swaps not necessarily be in favor of the Bulls, right? Because more than likely, the Bulls are going to be a better team than the Milwaukee Bucks if they trade Giannis Antetokounmpo. So even if you did that just to kind of fluff up the trade, right? All right, so the Bulls can offer four first-round picks that hopefully if you get Giannis, you're competing for the playoffs, right? I don't understand why you do that if that's not the point. Your best package that you can put forward together, they may want Modest Bouzelis, right? Now, I'm not sitting here saying that, but you got to remember, if Giannis wants to come here, he's going to have somebody to play with. Giannis Antetokounmpo is not coming here to play with the spirit of Derrick Rose's ACL and Lonzo Ball. He's not doing that, right? It's not happening. So, and when you look at the other teams that could get involved in that, they blow the Bulls' offer out the water. Let's be clear. The San Antonio Spurs not only have their own first that they can trade, they have first from the Atlanta Hawks, which who the hell knows where the Hawks are going to be, right? They have picks from Dallas, they have picks from Minnesota, they have picks from Sacramento, right? Those are first round picks on top of their own first round picks, which then it sidesteps the Stephian rule, so you can then offer multiple first round picks of your own and, in that case, from these other teams, which then means that you can offer way more picks, and then let's get into the young talent, right? Regardless of how you feel about these players, they can include younger talent, right, that then still keeps the base of their team there that can then put you in a spot where you're competing more, right? Because, again, Giannis is going to want to go to a team where he can actually compete, right? So if they're willing to offer any of Devin Vassell, right, maybe get as high as maybe Jeremy Sochan, right? Would Stephon Castle maybe even be on the table then if they're getting Giannis Antetokounmpo? Maybe, maybe not. I'm not going to say that for sure, right? But they can offer multiple young players, right? Multiple young players. Whereas the Bulls, I mean, I would hope that they're not going to include Modest Bouzelis, but if they have to, you're looking at the best young players that the Bulls can offer is Modest, Io, right? Like, and don't get me wrong, Modest's ceiling is just as high as anybody on the San Antonio Spurs, but it's the combination of the picks, right? The bevy of picks that they can get from San Antonio. Let's switch it to the other team that everybody thinks is going to be hunting for a star this offseason. That's the Houston Rockets. Let's look at the picks that the Houston Rockets have. They have, of course, some of their own first-round picks, but then they have picks from Brooklyn, the Sun, Dallas Mavericks, another first-round pick from the Sun in 2029. Plus their own first-round picks. So, again, the fact that you have other teams' first-round picks and those other teams being teams that are in limbo right now, we don't know what the Dallas Mavericks are going to be, especially with Kyrie Irving's injury and the future of that team. The Phoenix Suns, those picks can be gold when it comes down to it, on top of your own first and pick swaps from the Houston Rockets, right? Then on top of that, they have young talent in Jabari that they can offer. Now, I'm not saying that Jabari's ceiling is as high as Modest Bouzelis, but I'm saying the combination of the picks and the combination of the young talent, multiple young talents that they can include in those deals are way different and more than the Chicago Bulls. And then let's not even talk about the OKC Thunder. We'll see how their season ends. But if they wanted to, can't nobody put together a better package for than the OKC Thunder. When you look at all the teams that they have first-round picks from, they have picks from the Dallas Mavericks, They have picks from the Denver Nuggets, multiple picks from the Denver Nuggets. They got picks from the Houston Rockets. They got picks from the Los Angeles Clippers. They like the Miami Heat. They got a lot of picks that they can put on the table on top of the young talent. So that right there, the Bulls cannot put together a better offer than at least those three teams. And I'm sure if I really wanted to dig into it, I could find even more teams than the Chicago Bulls just do not have the firepower to match their offers when it comes to the combination of young players and first-round picks. On top of all of that, right, even if Giannis would have to go to the Milwaukee Bucks front office and say, I only want to go to Chicago. And then that gets me to the last part of this. You motherfuckers, stop with the Giannis wants to come to Chicago. And I'm talking about the aggregators, not you Bulls fans. Everybody who's trying to pull off this Giannis wants to come play for Chicago, it was a one sit-down interview in which he more so said he always dreamed as a kid of playing for the Chicago Bulls because of Michael Jordan. Guess what? So all the fuck did we, right? Then on top of that, he said, who knows? Maybe one day I'll play in Chicago. At a time where he didn't have his contract extension, he was putting pressure on the front office to try to get in and to make a move, to try to make this team a contender. Come on. Let's stop with the bullshit, right? And by that, I'm not talking about y'all. I'm talking about the aggregators on social media. Now, another name that has popped up that I will admit is more realistic is Zion Williamson, right? We know what Zion can be when he's on the floor, all of this. But I think people have also painted themselves into thinking the Pelicans are going to be trying to shop off Zion for just any type of salary cap filler. And some I've seen people as much as say, oh, well, we can give them a couple of seconds and Patrick Wood. Are you fucking stupid? Like real talk. Are you dumb? Are you really stupid, right? Now, people, I've seen more realistic deals like, well, maybe we can offer them Kobe and we can offer them a future first and we can get Zion and things like that. Like, okay, you're more in the realm of realism, right? Talk about Kobe, maybe the expiring Vooch contract that gets you there money-wise, right? And you include a first-round pick. You keep Montrezl Bozelis. You're adding Zion to that. So maybe hopefully you keep your 2026 pick. You add a center to that. Okay. I can see the realism in that, right? But I think the thing that goes back to me is I don't want to trade. Let me not say I don't care about the upside. The concerns of trading for somebody with the injury history of Zion Williamson, maybe I'm just jaded as a Bulls fan. And I get it. He has an opt-out clause after every year of his deal. So you can opt out. You can get off of that. Okay, cool, right? But at the same time, like, and I've seen so much, and I've talked to Justin from Bloody Horns. He's an amazing content creator. No shots there. But he was like, well, look, maybe if we trade for Zion, maybe that's a move that finally gets Acme fired. You mean to tell me trading for a max-level contract that you can get out every single year and potentially save the franchise money while selling a bunch of jerseys because they're going to be a bunch of jersey sales and excitement for Zion coming here, even if it is for 1 year? You think that's going to get this front office fired? Like, really? Come on. No, right? That may get AK an extension, right? So I get what all this is coming from, right? And I will say, like I said, the Zion trade is more feasible. Just because it's more feasible doesn't mean it's realistic, though, right? Or that it's going to happen. But as I've told you...
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Guys, many times before, I don't think that this front office and just getting all their first round picks back are going to immediately then go out and try to trade them. I do think that they're going to want to see how much of Josh Giddey and Kobe is legit, right? How much of that is legitimately who they are. And then they're going to try to figure out the next path of the team. 2026, summer of 2026, maybe, right? Because at that point, if you got Modest, who's coming out of his second year looking good, you got a rookie that hopefully looked like he's going to be something for you and you've picked right. You got Giddey, you got Kobe, see what Io looks like when he comes back. Then you start maybe thinking of, okay, we got all this cap space. Let's figure out what we're going to do. Let's take a swing. That's where I think you're going to see the Bulls take a swing if they do. And maybe then at that point, maybe the Giannis thing looks a little bit more realistic. But right now, no. And I hate to tell Bulls fans that we went through this when I first started the show, and it was the Rudy Gobert trade, right? And people were like, you can get Gobert for cheap. And I was like, there's no such thing as getting somebody with that contract cheap. And then he went for 5 first-round picks. I think that was one of the first big discussions me and Pat, the designer, had over on Locked On Bulls, kind of the disagreement we had. I'm like, you're not getting Rudy Gobert cheap. What are you talking about, right? And he went up going, like, just because a team has to move on from a player doesn't all of a sudden mean that they're just trying to sell them for pennies on the dollar, right? Even if it's clear that they need to move on from that player. We've seen it too much. It's a tale as old as time. Bulls fans, Bulls aggregators, right? Social media aggregators, cut the bullshit. All right. Now that I've spent the first 15 minutes of the show debunking shit, let's get into the actual content for today. I want to talk about Bulls players that I think have earned, as of right now, and they'll have to continue to earn it coming into training camp, that have definitely earned a bigger role next season, right? Number one, Modest Bouzilis. I have to explain it? Like, I shouldn't even, this should be academic at this point. Most people should understand. I think the only person who's like, well, he may not start Hayes is Wynton Mahorn. Modest Bouzilis is coming into this, and he's going to show that he's a cornerstone of this franchise next year, right? And you look at, you know, the minuscule recognition that he received at Rookie of the Year voting, but you look at how he's talked around the NBA, and fuck all that, whether he's talked about it or not. Look at the physical profile. Look at the skill set. Look at what he did as a player that really wasn't an efficient shooter last year. Look at how he grew as a defender as well last year, right? Modest Bouzilis has definitely shown that he gets that. And when you look at the way that defenses had to legitimately play him, even when his shot wasn't falling well, and the defense, the weak side defense, all the type of stuff that's coming here, Modest Bouzilis has definitely shown that he's a player that deserves a higher role next year for sure, right? And another player that I think, again, should be kind of academic, even though some Bulls fans are like, let's trade him so we can keep Trey, is Ayo Dosunmu, right? The Bulls need perimeter defense. Ayo Dosunmu right now is offering the best chance of that. Now, maybe the roster construction changes, right? And Lonzo Ball, you can't bet on his health until he's there, right? Ayo Dosunmu in his two-way play, what he does in transition for this time, the fact that at the start of this season, he was looking, like I've said it before, he was part of every good Bulls lineup had Ayo Dosunmu in it, right? You look at his career highs in points, rebounds, assists, right? And playing that physical defense, and the defense did start off last season shaky, but got better as it came over to it, right? We've seen what Ayo Dosunmu can be. And I think that Ayo Dosunmu is going to be a player that is really, really important for this Bulls team next season and them trying to have any type of consistent defense. You need defenders out there. Even if the Bulls pick up a defensive-minded center, you have that and you have Ayo potentially at the wing. We'll see if he ends up starting over Kevin Huerter. I'm not saying that he could very well be the sixth man, and that's perfectly fine as well. But the Bulls also are going to want to see what they have in him before he hits unrestricted free agency at the end of next season as well. So I think Ayo is definitely a player that he's going to probably get closer to that 30-minute threshold than what he has any other time before. And you're going to look at Ayo Dosunmu to get a bigger role in this one. Next up is Julian Phillips. Much like with Ayo, you need some defense out there. And Julian Phillips offers a 3-and-D wing prototype that we got to see, right? And again, I'm not saying Kevin Huerter is not still going to get his minutes. I'm saying that Julian Phillips is going to be in contention for more minutes than what he got last year, averaging around 14 because of that 3-and-D. Right now, he has to be consistent in it. He has to be consistent in his effort and execution, which has been something that has gone up and down for him at times, right? But the 7-foot wingspan that he has, right, which was a big reason of why the Bulls wanted him, the fact that he did step up as a 3-point shooter last year at times, he grew in that area. And so you got to look at that. You know, last year he only appeared in 40 games to average 8.1 minutes. He appeared in 79 games last year and averaged 14.2 minutes last season. I think you can see that go up closer to 18 to 20 minutes per game next year as long as he makes that jump. He has to work. He has to put that in, and we'll see what he does there. But I think if he can make his strengths better while fleshing out some of his weaknesses and turning those into not as big weaknesses, that's where you're going to start seeing Julian Phillips really earn more minutes. Keep in mind, I want all these guys to earn it. I'm not saying come into training camp, nothing is given, earn it, right? I do think that Julian Phillips is one of those guys. And then lastly, I'll say this. As of right now, it's Dalen Terry too, right? He's the last guy on this list. He showed a little bit, especially down the stretch of last season. There were times where Dalen Terry was taking players off the dribble, using his speed to get to the rim, right? And we haven't really seen that, right? You look at him to guard, he can guard 3 positions. He can guard the 1, 2, and 3 at the NBA level, maybe some smaller 4s, but he still has to put on some weight, right? He played 73 games last season in his third year in the NBA, which is really solid. He averaged 13.5 minutes per game as well, right? So, you know, you gotta think that his per 36 numbers are really good, but then again, I don't like to use that stat for people who really didn't play a lot of minutes. I think you can look that better. Like, if you have 20 to 25 minutes, that's where per 36 is kind of a better indicator. When you play less than half of 30 minutes and you're averaging those out to per 36, I don't like with the precedent that sets. But for what it's worth, his per 36 were 12 points, 4.5 rebounds, 3.5 assists, 1.6 steals. So if they do want to look at that, that could point to something that you need to do there, right, when it comes down to it. So, you know, overall, we'll see what happens. He only averaged 3.7 field goal attempts, right? He's going to have to be a little bit more aggressive in that. But I think another player that can offer, especially defensively, and get out in transition, Dalen Terry, is that he has a chance to be that next season for the Chicago Bulls as well. But those guys, the guys that I'm looking at saying that, are ready for a larger role. How they perform in that role is going to be up to them, right? As I've said with everybody, with this, ain't nothing given. Everything got to be earned. But I do think you can start looking at some things and saying, hey, depending on how they work this offseason, when you pair that with how they finished last season at, there are some signs there that these guys, well, it's academic for Modest and Ayo, but Julian and Dalen can really start kind of cracking that rotation a little bit more. I would love to say Jalen Smith as well, but Billy Donovan and centers, I've learned not to trust that. I've learned not to trust that. So, you know, it is what it is when it comes down to that. You guys can let me know how you feel on that down below. But in talking about that, you know, we're doing our season grades. I want to get into Jalen Smith's season. This is such a weird player to judge, right? Because the advanced analytics, especially at the beginning of the season, love Jalen Smith, right? It almost pointed to he needed to be a player that played almost starter-level minutes, whether it was coming off the bench or not, because that's how good he was at the beginning of the season for the Chicago Bulls, right? The Bulls were better defensively, offensively, just about everything you could think of when Jalen Smith was on the court. But then he started falling out of the rotation, right? And then, you know, he had the injury and all these things happened. And then Jalen was never quite Jalen after that. He had some flashes of that, but he never was really quite that. Now, some of that could be pointed towards his minutes were inconsistent. So how is it going to give consistent input when his minutes are inconsistent, right? And I can see that when it comes down to it. But then when you look at it, the Bulls ended up at this season negative 1.1 points per 100 possessions when he was on the court. But defenses, you know, opposing team shot 2.2% worse. The rebounding percentage went down. The turnover percentage went up. And Jalen Smith is solid enough. I think as a backup big, a lot of what Jalen Smith that you want from him, you get, right? You know, 8.2 points per game last year, 5.6 rebounds, one assist, almost a block per game that he gave. And Jalen, you know, again, it was some signs of, hey, he could be really good for you. But then the defense, right? While the weak side defense was okay, the on-ball defense was just as bad as Nikola Vucevic. And that's basically what I told people coming into the season. Pre-All-Star break, he averaged 8.6 minutes, points per game on 15 minutes. Post-All-Star break, he only played 14 games, averaged 7 points on 42% shooting, right? So he got worse as a three-point shooter. He was 35% pre-All-Star break, 20% post-All-Star break, right? So he got worse as a shooter when it came down to that as well, right? He only started 2 games. As a starter, he averaged 12 points, 10.5 rebounds, 3 blocks per game, 2 assists, right? But that was only two games starting and 30.5 minutes per game. Jalen came in and did his role decently, right? And whether you want to hold it against coaching to why he didn't play more down the stretch and his performance kind of tapered off, or you want to hold it against him, either way, it still ends you in the same spot. Jalen Smith was not as productive for the Bulls as the Bulls need him to be down an important stretch of the season. And that led to his minutes, or Zach Collins, being much more productive in that role. So when you look at Jalen, how do you want to grade him, right? Do you want to grade him versus what he looked like he was before the coach stopped playing him more? Or do you want to grade him overall and just objectively, this is the output, this is what you gave, this is where we sit? And that's where I sit, right? I'm just going to grade the performance. I think overall, like, Jalen, he would probably tell you he needed to play better down the stretch of that season. And it is what it is. You look at March, he averaged 16 minutes per game in the month of March. Only 7.6 points, 23% shooting from the field, 44% shooting. 44% shooting from the field, 23% shooting from three, right? Taking almost 4 threes per game, hitting less than one of them. So Jalen, just that finish of the season is really rough. And I think if you would have looked at his first couple of months in the season, and if that would have been the whole season, he would have got easily a B-. But because of how the season went, right, I C-minus here for me. Matter of fact, no. I think that's being too lenient. D. I'm going to give him a D, and that's mainly because we needed the skill set that Jalen Smith brought, right? And he would have helped in a lot of those games. The coach didn't play him in some of those. But I think also when he did get in those games, outside of that one game when none of the starters played, Jalen just didn't give you a lot, man. He didn't give you a lot. So I'll give him a solid D-plus in this one, almost a C-. But as always, you guys can let me know how you grade Jalen Smith down below. Thank you guys for tuning in. Make sure you guys are following us at Bull Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, bullcentralpod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, but that's thanks to you lovely and beautiful people. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See you red if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key, and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.